Our first scripture this morning comes from the Hebrew Bible in the Old Testament. If you'd like to follow along, we start on 249. This is from the book of 1 Samuel. Just to get you up to speed on this passage, this is a story most all of us know. It's the story of David as a boy and a giant named Goliath. And at this point, the Israel army has gone up against the Philistine army. And as they stand on either side of this huge valley facing each other, every morning for 40 days, a giant named Goliath stands in the valley and taunts them and says, "Send one person down here to fight me." And they're also afraid, they just can't do it. And here's where we pick up when David comes to visit his brothers. "Now David said to Saul, 'Let no one's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine.' Saul said to David, 'You are not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for you are just a boy, and he has been a warrior from his youth.' But David said to Saul, 'Your servant used to keep sheep for his father, and whenever a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I went after it and struck it down, rescuing the lamb from its mouth. And if it turned against me, I would catch it by the jaw, strike it down, and kill it. Your servant has killed both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine should be like one of them, since he has defied the armies of the living God.' David said, 'The Lord who saved me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will save me from the hand of this Philistine.' So Saul said to David, 'Go, and may the Lord be with you.' Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a bronze helmet on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. David strapped Saul's sword over the armor, and he tried in vain to walk, for he was not used to them. Then David said to Saul, 'I cannot walk with these, for I am not used to them.' So David removed them. Then he took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones from the riverbed nearby and put them in his shepherd's bag. In the pouch, his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. The Philistine came on and drew David near to David, and with his shield bearer in front of him. When the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. The Philistine said to David, 'Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?' And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, 'Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the wild animals of the field.' But David said to the Philistine, 'You come to me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This very day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head, and I will give the dead bodies of the Philistine army this very day to the birds of the air and to the wild animals of the earth, so that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not save by sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand.' When the Philistine drew nearer to meet David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. David put his hand in his bag, took out a stone, slung it, and struck the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down to the ground." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Our second scripture reading today comes from the book of Mark. If you'd like to follow along, it's on page 36 of the New Testament in the Bibles. "So on that day, when evening had come, Jesus said to them, 'Let us go across to the other side.' And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But Jesus was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?' He woke up, and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we give thanks for this and every opportunity to come together in your fellowship and your word. Let the words of my mouth and the thoughts and meditations of all of our hearts be good in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The question this morning is, what are you afraid of? Giants? Storms? How about financial problems? Car crashes? Plane crashes? War? Terrorism? Death? Failure? Losing someone that you love? Fear is a normal, natural part of the human condition. And fear is something that we all have to deal with. It's okay to be afraid. Fear can paralyze us. Fear can also save our lives. Back in 1915, a physiologist named Walter Cannon developed a theory that some of you may have heard of called the fight or flight syndrome. They also call it the fear fight or flight. It's how we instinctively react to something that's happening to us as we're afraid. Do we stand and fight? Or do we turn around and run away? But the entire thing is trying to save ourselves when we're in a situation where we're fearful. It just so happens I saw a T-shirt on the news the other day that I have to share with you. This guy is a pest roundup guy. He goes out and takes care of everything from raccoons under your porch to alligators in people's pools. And he wears a T-shirt that says, "I handle wild animals for a living. If you see me running, keep up." Fear is part of our natural human nature. And accepting our humanity is part of our salvation. As they say to alcoholics and drug addicts, you can't solve the problem until you accept that you've got a problem. Fear is a natural part of our reaction, but we are called to control our fears. Religious leaders over the last few decades, maybe even longer than that, have been complaining that America's culture is falling due to lack of morals. Our morals are sinking. We're addicted to too many things. We're addicted to sex and drugs and money and fame. But what about our addiction to fear? I fear that we've become, over the last few decades, a culture addicted to fear, especially since 9/11. This country has become a culture based on fear. I find it kind of disheartening that we've gone from there's nothing to fear but fear itself to it's 3 a.m. and a phone is ringing in the White House. Remember that ad? We've changed the way we react to fear as a nation. We've changed from being courageous and accepting things and battles that we have to come up against to trying to be brave and doing silly things at times. We've changed the way we treat each other, as well as the way we treat our enemies around the world. We've confused in some ways bravado and courage. We've confused fear and respect. Now, don't get me wrong. As I said, fear is a natural human state. David, in the story of going up against Goliath, was afraid. He may have had the courage of God behind him, but you can bet David was scared. For 40 days, this giant, 9'6", dressed head to knee in solid bronze, with sword and spear, his shield was so big somebody had to carry it for him. He'd come down and stood there taunting an entire army. And they were afraid, and it was a boy, young man probably in his teens, who finally said, "You know what? This ain't right. You're the army of the God of Israel. This shouldn't be happening." Now, even though he was untrained in warfare, he had a job of protecting his father's sheep. And in that job, he knew part of the job was when a sheep was captured by a lion or a bear, it was his job to go after it. Now, he was probably scared, but he knew it was his job. He knew what he had to do. He knew it was the right thing to do. So David had two things on his side when he went up against Goliath. The first thing was he knew it was the right thing to do. And the second thing was he knew that God was on his side. God had his back. Now, let's juxtapose that with the disciples in the second scripture I read. Now, this was a group of grown men. Many of them were fishermen. They'd been in storms before. They'd been out on rough seas. They'd been around. They'd had battles and struggles going on in their life. And at that moment, while the storm was raging, they had Jesus with them, literally, right there with them. And yet they were still afraid. They had left everything of their lives to follow this man. They'd watched him do miracles. They'd watched him heal people and feed thousands. And yet, in the middle of the storm, they panicked. And it took Jesus to calm them down. Not just calm the storm, but to calm the disciples. And as soon as things were calm, he asked the question, "Why are you afraid? Haven't you been paying attention?" Now, he didn't say that. That was just paraphrasing. But that's the point that Jesus was trying to get across to them. I called you to follow me because I'm God's servant. God wants you to be his servants as well. And we got your back. But apparently, they weren't getting that message, or something was blocking that message. And that thing was fear. So here's the great thing about the wisdom of youth. Youth has not had so many of the battles and the storms that we have as we get older. So in youth, there is hope and there is courage. There are strengths there that haven't been taken away yet. And David, in that wisdom of youth, had this attitude that God's got my back. What have I got to be afraid of? The disciples, though, they were grown men, and they panicked. Life can beat all of us down over time. The old saying, once bitten, twice shy. A lot of us are bitten, and so the next time something comes up, we're a little more shy. Life beats us down. We have one too many battles, and we just don't feel like fighting. We can lose that courage over time, that courage of youth that David had. So I come back to the question. What are you afraid of? How many of you in this room, how many of us in this room, I should say, are afraid of change? Be honest. You don't have to raise your hand if you don't want to, but let's face it, one of the biggest, strangest, most complicated anxieties people have is the fear of change. Somebody much wiser than me once said, the only certain thing in life is change. We just can't get away from it. Sickness and illness will happen. Wars will happen. Car wrecks will happen. Bad news is going to happen. And yes, even change is going to happen. But remember, in the midst of those fears and anxieties, we always got to get back to what Jesus said. Jesus asked, "Why are you afraid? Haven't you been paying attention? Don't you know who's got your back?" We got to remember that God is in control. That God sent Jesus to strengthen all of us, to guide us, to lead us, to build us up, and to help us fight those natural human instincts we have of fear and greed and lust and anger and selfishness. Christ was brought here to encourage us to be better than that. Jesus can get us through storms. Jesus can walk with us and be with us through tragedies. Don't forget, Jesus even conquered death itself. Not only by himself, but for all of us. That's really what's going on here. Now, I am realistic. We're not going to conquer every giant that comes up against us with one stone. We are going to be thrown into storms that are going to ravage our lives and do damage. There are going to be giants that are going to win battles. But we have to remember that Jesus is here with us, resting on that cushion in the front of the boat and asking us, "Why are you afraid? I got your back." God will get us through. And when the dust clears, and when the storm is over, the battle has been fought, win or lose, God will still be there. Amen?